looking for the passage. It's on the back of your sheet here. It's 1 Thessalonians 2, 1 to 12. You know, brothers, that our visit to you was not a failure. We had previously suffered and been insulted in Philippi, as you know. But with the help of our God, we dare to tell you this gospel, in spite of strong opposition. For the appeal we make does not spring from error or impure motives, nor are we trying to trick you. On the contrary, we speak as men approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel. We are not trying to please men, but God, who tests our hearts. You know we never used flattery, nor did we put on a mask to cover up greed. God is our witness. We were not looking for praise from men, not from you or anyone else. As apostles of Christ, we could have been a burden to you, but we were gentle among you, like a mother caring for her little children. We loved you so much that we were delighted to share with you not only the gospel of God, but our lives as well, because you had become so dear to us. Surely remember, brothers, our toil and hardship. We worked night and day in order not to be a burden to anyone while we preached the gospel of God to you. You are witnesses, and so is God, of how holy, righteous, and blameless we were among you who believed. For you know that we dealt with each of you as a father deals with his own children, encouraging, comforting, and urging you to live lives worthy of God, who calls you into his kingdom and glory.
Emil, great to see you. If you were here last week, we had our first birthday party, which was all very exciting, which means that we are starting the second year of our church life together. In the beginning of this year, the idea in this little series called Church is the Family Business is just to sort of remind ourselves of what church should be like and what the sort of network of relationships we have as church family members. So last week, we thought about how God is our Father, the perfect Father. Next week, we're going to think a bit more broadly about the whole issue that basically as a church, we are a family. This week, you'll see from your service sheet, our focus is on this. Discipling or discipleship is parenting. Discipleship is parenting. You can see you're all intrigued already. I'm going to pray and then we'll get going. Father God in heaven, we thank you that we can call you that. We thank you that we can come to you now because of Jesus and ask your help. And ask that you would speak to us through this part of your words. And that you would see how you have called each one of us, not just to be children, as we thought about last week, but to be parents. We pray for the Spirit's help now as we seek to respond to you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Discipling is parenting. That is what we're thinking about today. And you might immediately think that that is a bit of an odd sort of thing to think about in a church that is sort of made up of the sort of people this church is made up of. Because to be honest, almost none of us are involved in parenting at the moment. For some, as it were, we've been there, we've done that, we've parented young children, and thank goodness they have now left home. And for others of us, the whole idea of being parents seems, to be honest, a little bit far off, and we're slightly embarrassed that you've raised the subject tonight. For other people in this room, we know it's just not going to happen, and we're reconciled to that fact. For others, it's a very painful sort of experience to sort of think through the reality that you may not have the biological children that you long for. And so to talk about parenting, to talk about discipling as parenting, seems to be a bit of an odd mismatch in a church made up of people like us. But whatever our circumstances, and whatever our expectation, and whatever our experience of pain in this area, I want us all to leave this meeting tonight and thinking of ourselves as parents, as people with responsibility for bringing up children. I wanted each of us to have a vision of a family tree of spiritual descendants going down through the generations from us. That's what I'd love us all to have as you leave this room this evening. How come? Well, I wonder if you hear over summer, you remember we looked at a verse in Paul's second letter to Timothy, and it was this. 2 Timothy 2 verse 2, must be mentioned. Paul writes, "And the things you've heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable people who will be qualified to teach others." When we looked at that verse, we established that it really was sort of Paul's great strategy for how the gospel was going to continue through the generations. The idea is that one generation would pass it on reliably to the next generation, who would pass it on reliably to the next generation after that. And off the back of that, we pose the question, who are we going to be reliably passing the gospel on? Because if that's the strategy for church growth down the years, one generation passing on reliably to the gospel to the next generation, it will only keep going if we as a generation reliably pass on the gospel for the next. So over the summer, if you were here, and if you weren't over here over the summer, let me tell you now, we heard this challenge. How are we going to be involved in passing on the gospel? More precisely, who are we going to seek to pass the gospel on to this year? Who are we going to seek to reliably pass the gospel on to this year so that the gospel keeps going down the generation? Now, in my dreams, you've all been giving that a lot of thought over the previous weeks. Okay, now that might not be the reality, but you know, let's just say from now on we're going to be giving that a bit of thought. How are we going to do that? And tonight, I want to particularly think through what that looks like in practice. What that's going to involve in you and me in practice. How are we going to be those that pass the gospel on down through the generations? What does that feel like? What does that look like in practice? To be those sort of people that reliably pass the gospel on to others. Well, I think it feels like, and I think it looks like, parenting. It looks like being a spiritual mum and dad. Do you remember what Paul, the Apostle Paul, called this guy Timothy, this church leader he was writing to? He called him my dear son. He passed the gospel on to him. He reliably passed the gospel on to him. And Paul, as a result, felt like was his spiritual dad. And the Apostle Paul was always using this sort of parental language to explain what discipleship is all about. So this is what he wrote to the church in Galatia to explain his relationship with them. He wrote to them, "My dear children, for whom I am again in the pains of childbirth until Christ is born in you. How I wish I could be with you now and change my tone because I'm perplexed about you." Paul felt as if he had given birth to the Galatian church. Because actually, spiritually he had. He's the person that had planted it. He'd gone through the pain of being like a mother in childbirth, bringing them to know and love the Lord Jesus. He felt like a spiritual mum. I think the most famous example of this parental language is the one in front of us. As Paul writes to the church in Thessalonica. You'll notice that in this passage Paul refers to himself as both a mother, spiritual mother to him, and a spiritual father as well. Look down at, halfway through verse 6, first of all, I think there's a nice convenient paragraph break there. "As apostles of Christ," writes Paul, "we could have been a burden to you, but we were gentle among you. Like a mother caring for her little children. We love you so much that we're delighted to share with you not only the gospel of God, but our lives as well, because you became so dear to us. Surely you remember, brothers, our toil and hardship. We worked night and day in order not to be a burden to anyone while we preached the gospel of God to you." Paul saw himself as a spiritual mother to these Thessalonian Christians, verse 7, to the church that he had again planted in that city. In what way was he like a mother to them? Well, he loved them so much, verse 8, that he shared the whole of his life with them. That's what mothers with young children do, isn't it? They share the whole of their life with these young children. They have to. When you've got young children, you can't leave them on your own. You've got to take them everywhere with you. You've got to do everything together. I sister has got young kids, and that means that she involves them in every part of her life. And they're always there, because she's responsible for them. They're coming, they need her to be there. And so that means there are very few boundaries for my sister at the moment. Wherever she is, these kids are watching, learning, being looked after. There's constant care. And that is how children grow up, isn't it? That is how children grow up. That is how children learn to do so many things. That's how we learn to do so many things. By watching our mum and doing the same. So my sister sometimes tells her children something, don't do that, do this. But most of what they're learning from her is actually by impersonation. She didn't sit down and say, let me teach you to talk. They just started picking up the words that she used, picking up quite speedily even the manner in which she speaks. One of the most amusing things at the moment is to watch my four-year-old niece, Martha, clean. She cleans in exactly the same way as her mother cleans. She says the same thing, she moves around in the same sort of way. She has the same standards of cleanliness, which is far beyond any other human being. She's got that from her mom. She's impersonated her mom. That's what parenting is all about. And Paul's spiritual parenting was just the same. Yes, he sometimes told the Thessalonians things. He told them the gospel. He told them how they were to live in response to God's grace to them. But most of what they learned would have been by impersonation. They'd have seen Paul in the mornings when he just got up and was a little child. They'd have seen him in the evenings when he had spent a whole day at work tent making. They'd have seen him in a whole host of different situations, interacting with different people. Paul shared the whole of his life with them so that they could watch and learn from him, so they could impersonate him. And so if we want to be the people that reliably pass on the gospel to the next generation, we need to learn from Paul. And we need to think about how we can be spiritual mothers. Spiritual mothers to those we're seeking to reliably pass the gospel on to. How we can share the whole of our lives with them. Yes, we want to look out for opportunities to tell people the gospel and to help people know by us saying what they should do in response to the gospel. But we also want to be coming up with plenty of opportunities for them to watch and to learn from us, to impersonate us, to see what we're like in the world and what we're like in the world, to see what we're like interacting in different situations in different ways, to see what it means like to be like Christ in the workplace and on a day and on a holiday or on the down in the place. That's the sort of thing we need to do. We have to get on with this stuff. Now, at this point, we probably need to spell out a little bit of me because we might be a little scared by the reality of saying to somebody we're discipling, do you want to move in and act as if you were a four-year-old? Okay, that is not exactly what we're talking about. But what I do want to say is so often we think discipling somebody, looking out for another Christian, helping them to become more like Christ, we think it's just an hour a week in the diary, or a brief conversation after church, or just something nicely containable, and quite mechanical actually. When Paul clearly sees it as something quite holistic, something quite big, something that's going to involve quite a lot of time and effort and love from us. So if I want to disciple somebody, I need to be thinking, how can I help this person see me in action in as many situations as possible? With people I like and with people I don't like, in situations where it's quite easy for me to be godly, and in situations where, to be honest, I really struggle. Now, how can I help this person perhaps serve alongside me so that they can see what makes me tick, so they can see what I'm like under pressure? How can I let them in on the struggles that I have to be godly, the struggles I have to live the Christian life? We need to be thinking, how can I share my life with them? How can I be like a mother to this younger Christian? Now that will, verse 9 very clear, be really hard work. But I think if we're really serious about discipleship, if we're really serious about younger Christians growing up to be older Christians at this church, we need to behave like mothers with little children. We need to give them that sort of access. We need to sacrifice ourselves in that sort of way. I don't know if you've ever been on a Christian summer camp. I did them for about 15, 16 years, and I know that one of the reasons they're so key for discipleship in this country is because on a summer camp, a lot of what we're talking about here takes place. Because what happens, if you're not so familiar with the concept, is you get a group of quite annoying and smelly teenagers, some of who are Christians, some who are not Christians, and you put, sort of looking after them, two or three older Christians for a week or 10 days. And the reason that is such an effective environment for discipleship is that these teenagers don't just get told the gospel in talks like this up front. They get to see the gospel in action. They get to see what their dorm leader is like when they have kept him up at 2 or 3 hours later than they were, you know, he was hoping to be up. They get to see what it means like to be a Christian. Through the 2 or 3 people that are in. You get a little taste of what we're talking about here, of spiritual parenting. They have this experience of somebody sharing the gospel and their lives with them. I think when discipleship has power, people are willing to act like parents. We want to be a church where discipleship really happens, where lives are really transformed. And we will have to behave like spiritual mothers. Whether a man or a woman, we behave like spiritual mothers. Paul did. We should. So it's not just motherhood that we should be embracing, it's also fatherhood. We should be like spiritual fathers as well, aren't we? But then, now verse 10. Paul writes here, "You are witnesses, and so is God, of how holy, righteous, and blameless we were among you who believed. For you know how we dealt with each of you as a father deals with his own children, encouraging, comforting, and urging you to live lives worthy of God, who calls you into his kingdom and glory." Paul behaved like a spiritual man to be done Christians. And in what ways in particular? Well, let's go again at verse 12. Encouraging, comforting, and urging them to live lives worthy of God. The focus here seems to be very much on Paul's training them. And as I looked down at verse 12, as I was looking down at verse 12 earlier this week, they seem to be the sort of things that most dads have to do. So when my dad taught me to ride a bike without stabilizers, at an age which is, to be honest, quite embarrassing, he had to do each of these things. He had to encourage me to do it in the first place. Point out that there weren't many other boys of my age still riding bikes and stabilizers. He had to comfort me when I fell off again and again and again. And he had to urge me to keep going when I felt like giving up, which was, to be honest, after the first time I fell off. That's what a good father does for their child. And that is the sort of thing that Paul did for their families. When they were at the wobbly beginnings of their Christian lives, Paul did those things. They would grow, so they would get going as Christians. Because he considered himself, he thought of himself, he felt like their spiritual dad. And that is what younger Christians in this church need from the older ones. They need encouragement to live lives worthy of God. They need comfort when they fail to do that. They need a nice sort of Christian kick up the backside when they want to give up. Young Christians in this church need you, if you're an old Christian, to be a spiritual dad. And so you need to start thinking of yourself, perhaps as you come to church on a Sunday, that this isn't just all about you, as it were, getting a nice little spiritual boost for the week ahead. No, this is about an opportunity for you to feel and to act on a sense of parental responsibility. To find out how the younger Christians are doing at living lives worthy of God. To point out, perhaps, gently, the areas in which that's not quite happening. To pray for them when it needs happening. That's the attitude we need. Stick amongst those of us who are here throughout the whole of the year. The attitude we need of just seeing ourselves as spiritual parents. People who God has asked, parents, young Christians, but yes, to our thoughts. So, application question for us all this evening. Who are you going to reliably pass the gospel onto this year? Or, better put, off the back of this, who are you going to parent this year? Well, if you're sitting there thinking, oh my goodness, I'm not old enough to be a parent, I'm a very young Christian, well, who are you going to ask to parent you this year? Who are you going to ask to parent you this year? This church should be a beautiful network of spiritual relationships, of spiritual parent-child relationships. A whole network of parents. One of the great gifts God has given us is a range of ages. Yes, we've got loads of people who are just about 20 or heading towards 20, and yes, we've got a lot of people who are slightly over 30. But that's a wonderful blend to have together where spiritual parenting can take place. Where the maturity that some of us have can be used to breed new maturity in those coming up. But that will only happen if those of us who are slightly older feel like parents. So think forward a couple of weeks to the 27th of September, which will potentially be the first Sunday when some of the new students at Bristol and Uni perhaps come through our doors. And there'll be a danger for some of us to think, oh, here come the latest generation of students, you know, just to sort of take the coffee and tea from us at the end, get in our way. It's much nicer when things are small over the summer. Rather than to think, here's a generation of people that God has given us the parents. God has given us to help them become more and more like Jesus. Love us to have that attitude as the students come in towards the end of the month and the next month to think, if we're an older Christian, which of these people can I help? How can I share my life with them? How can I share the gospel? How can I love these people? As God is God, love. Can I speak to a moment? For those of us who having to confront the idea, or perhaps have confronted the idea, that we may not have our own biological children. That's me, that might be you. That is an incredibly painful thing for me. To think that you know, you're not going to have this nice long family tree. And there are a whole range of situations that can be really quite hard. I used to find it really hard when people sort of talked about, you know, just how their kids were becoming like them. And when people said of a child, he's just like his mum, he's just like his dad, you think, well, maybe they're ever so old. And I think they will. And just over the summer, I've had the joy of just seeing how some of my spiritual children have become my children. Now, there's lots of bad ways in which they can become my children. And every so often, I worry that that's what they call an angel. But actually, just a couple of times this summer, I've seen some good ways in which they are becoming my children. In which other people have said, you can tell he's a disciple then, in a good way. And so none of us here, if we're thinking, I'm not going to have my biological children, should be thinking, that's me done with parenting. That means that I won't be able to have children. And I think some of the people in the Christian church who most embrace this way of thinking, this idea of spiritual parenting, have had the largest families, generation after generation of spiritual children, who they've largely passed the gospel of. Just think of the Apostle Paul, take one example. A married man, didn't have children. In the culture of his day, that would have been a disgrace. His family tree ended with him. But it didn't. This family tree has grown generation after generation after generation as those descended from him spiritually have passed on the gospel alive in generation after generation after generation. There's a call for all of us here today to do that. To be those of you who have breed our own spiritual family tree by passing on the gospel alive to those who are younger than us. So that they're in a position to pass on the gospel of the life to those younger than them. It's a great vision to embrace. It's a great philosophy to have sort of in our minds at the beginning of this week. Last week, if you're here, I told us all that we should all think of ourselves as children, children of our wonderful Father God in heaven. This week, the challenge for all of us is to think of ourselves as parents, as people with the capacity to lead a whole new generation of Christians on this planet. We need to go to be with our Father. If we do that, we're going to need God's help. Let's turn to our Father God's prayer. Father, we thank you for those that have parented us as Christians, for those who have been like spiritual mothers and fathers to us, for those who have shared their lives and gospel with us, for those who have encouraged us and comforted us and rebuked us when necessary. We praise you for the generation that reliably passed on the gospel to us, and we pray that off the back of today you'd help us to be encouraged, that reliably pass on the gospel to others, you feel like parents, you act like parents, you have spiritual descendants. We know that for that to happen, we need your help. We need your Spirit to change our mindset. We need your Spirit to heal the hurt that many of us bear. We just pray now that we would embrace the vision of being spiritual parents, of doing the sort of thing that Paul did, of doing the sort of thing you did for us in your Son Jesus Christ. And we pray this. Quickly with your clarification. Verse 9, where he's talking about being a burden to them, they were told not to be a burden. Burden in what sort of way? Something like that.
Well, I think you've got to realise the whole sort of thing about spiritual mothering would have taken a huge amount of time and energy out of Paul. But then also, one of the things he did when he was on his missionary journeys and he was church planting was he worked sort of full-time as a tent maker, and therefore, you know, I think he would have been, as it were, doing a full-time job and, as it were, spiritually for the mothering at the same time. So if any of us were sitting there thinking, oh my goodness, how can I do this spiritual parenting alongside my full-time job? It's a good question. It's going to be really hard. But Paul is the trailblazer, because he did it actually. It was really hard.
Thank you. Verse 12.
Yeah.
What does it mean? What does it mean to live a life worthy of God?
Yeah, this is going to be sort of a phrase that it's always picked up on quite a bit in this letter. Is living a life worthy of the gospel. So he's speaking to a group of Christians. He's become Christians. They've got the gospel. They've been adopted into God's family. They're his children. And now he's helping them to think through all the consequences of that. Living a life worthy of their new status. And if you want to find out more about that, involves read on the
Great. Do you help say, is there a difference here with the application for whether we call ourselves a Christian here tonight or whether we wouldn't? In terms of parenting, how does that work?
Yeah, so if you're not a Christian here tonight, you'd be thinking, my goodness, this sounds very like a cult to me. So it's very devastating. And I've got my own parents very much, thank you very much. I'm not adopted by any of this lot. Fair enough. But if you're somebody who's here because you want to find out a little bit more about Christianity and you want to find out who Jesus is and what it means to follow him, well, what you do need is somebody who will get alongside you and show you what that looks like and tell you what that looks like. And if that's you, either spot somebody that looks relatively friendly or, you know, worst case scenario, come to me and I will point you in the direction of somebody who, as it will help you discover the gospel, to help you see what it looks like. Well, in that sense, parent.
This question asks, isn't there a big danger of being patronizing and considering others sort of, lower than ourselves, above ourselves, if we're talking about the parenting language, how we fit in this unhelpful word hierarchy?
Yeah, that's why we need to sort of think of this in light of what we learned last week, that we're all children. So if anybody's thinking, you know, this is a boost that you gave, remember last week, we're all children. Next week we're going to be thinking about how we're all siblings, so there's an equality. But at the same time, we, you know, some of us need to recognise that we perhaps have a little bit more experience, and therefore we do need to sacrifice ourselves by getting on with parenting. And that's not sort of, anything like this in the Christian life isn't a hierarchical thing, it's actually calling us to be self-sacrificial, and to give our lives, and to share our lives, and to love people in a way that isn't going to be about, you know, wandering around with a big bag saying, I'm spiritual parent. So it's going to be the equivalent of, you know, serving spiritual fathers.
And for the other, for the rest of us who think, I'm not sure I'm up to this. I don't know the gospel well enough, I'm not godly enough. And how, what would you say to there are a few people who are asking that sort of question? How do I know if we really do this?
Well, you know, let's think of this, the context of family relationships. You know, so some of us, you know, probably sitting there thinking, well, I see how I could perhaps, you know, help, you know, a new student arriving, you know, in a couple of weeks' time because I was a new student last year, so I've got a bit of wisdom I can share. So you in some ways think, you know, get on with a bit of parenting there. But you might be thinking, but I've got so much to learn, what I really want to learn is how I sort of get my mind around the next big change in my life. It's going to be graduating and starting a job. But I wonder if there's some people in this church who've done mentors, perhaps they can parent me. And then those people can think, oh my goodness, I'm just learning. There should be a whole network of family relationships. So we don't really need to sort of parent without grandparents and without great-grandparents. Probably avoid going up to somebody and saying, I want you to be my great-grandparent. Because they don't get battered by that. But, you know, a whole network of relationships is what we're talking about. And then often, you know, so often with the experiences of seeking to grow somebody up as a Christian, you find you learn something. Again, speak to parents. They learn so much from the exercise of having to bring up children. They learn so much about themselves, their hearts. You know, that's what happens in the world around us. We expect that to happen for spiritual parents, for a piece of two-way thing.
And a number of us here will be involved in sort of reading the Bible with a friend, a one-to-one or something like that. Someone asked, is that what we're talking about? Could that be one of the ways this fleshes out in terms of what parenting is, and then also, if it is, then how do you get about it? So, how many people to commit to, how long to commit to,
I mean, two things alone. If we're just thinking that I can parent somebody by meeting up with them once a week for an hour, when all we do is do a Bible study. Think of the analogy, if somebody said, because I parent my child, I'll see them once a week. And you may do a little bit of a sort of comprehension test, and then I've done my parenting. You know what I mean? We would be slightly suspicious of their parenting. When it comes to spiritual parenting, I think we just need to, I just want to sort of broaden the category a bit and think, yep, you know, I do want to sort of get into God's word with them, I do want to pray for them, but I also want to be asking about their life. And I do want to be providing opportunities for them to really get to know me and what makes me tick. So that actually, it's not just me saying, this is what it looks like to live a life worthy of the gospel, but they actually see me in action doing that sometimes, but also not doing that sometimes. So I think that's really important. But the other thing is to sort of move away from necessarily seeing it's all about things in the diary, but just to see it's an attitude. So when I come to church on Sunday, when we're on a church weekend away together, we're on a trip out and we've got a group of people around for a meal, we think to ourselves, you know, how could I help people here to come to our class? How could I, you know, what could I say and do that will help this person to have a really hard week, keep going into the next week? It's something, most of all, a mindset change, and perhaps something that really should drive our priorities to think, how can I, you know, be like a parent? That will work out things like one-to-one, but most of all, a mindset change.
Ed, thank you very much. We're going to pray now. Response to that, and Dan.